Was true enough. You described your feelings, or some of them, omitting the important facts. Let me take your husband first. You were lying to me by concealing your relations with Miss Coppleston.
This is monstrous. My wife knew nothing about it.
Really, Edward, I wonder if there was anyone who didn't know.
There was one, in fact. But you, Mrs. Chamberlain, tried to make me believe that it was this discovery precipitated what you called your nervous breakdown.
But it's true.
But you failed to mention that the cause of your distress was the defection of your lover, who suddenly, for the first time in his life, fell in love with someone, and with someone of whom you had reason to be jealous.
Really, Lavinia? This is very interesting. Now, I wonder who it could have been.
Well, tell him if you like.
A young man named Peter.
Peter? Peter who?
Mr. Peter Quilp.
Peter Quilp? Really, Lavinia, I congratulate you. You could not have chosen anyone I was less likely to suspect. And then he came to me to confide about Celia.
How did you know all this?
That I cannot disclose. Mrs. Chamberlain, when you came to me 2 months ago, I was dissatisfied with your explanation of your obvious symptoms of emotional strain, and so I made inquiries.
It was 2 months ago that your nervous breakdown began, and I never noticed it.
You wouldn't notice anything. You never noticed me.
Now, I want to point out to both of you that you are exceptionally well-suited to each other. Mr. Chamberlain, when you thought your wife had left you, you discovered that you were not really in love with Miss Coppleston.
My husband has never been in love with anybody.
And were not prepared to make the least sacrifice on her account. This injured your vanity. You like to think of yourself as a passionate lover. Then you realized what your wife has justly remarked, that you had never been in love with anybody, which made you suspect that you were incapable of loving.
You are cold-hearted, Edward.
So you say, Mrs. Chamberlain. And now, let us turn to your side of the problem. When you discovered that your young friend had actually fallen in love with Miss Coppleston, it took you some time before you would admit it. When you had to face the fact that his feelings towards her were different from any you had aroused in him, it was a shock. You had wanted to be loved. You had come to see that no one had ever loved you. Then you began to fear that no one could love you.
I'm beginning to feel very sorry for you, Lavinia. You know, you really are exceptionally unlovable, and I never quite knew why. I thought it was my fault.
And now you begin to see, I hope, how much you have in common. The same isolation. A man who finds himself incapable of loving, and a woman who finds... No man can love her.
It seems to me that what we have in common might be just enough to make us loathe one another.
See it rather as the bond which holds you together. While still in a state of unenlightenment, you could always say, he could not love any woman. You could always say, no man could love her. You could accuse each other of your own faults, and so could avoid understanding each other. Now you have only to reverse the propositions and put them together.
Is that possible? Edward, what can we do?
Well, Lavinia, we must make the best of a bad job. That is what he means.
When you find, Mr. Chamberlain, the best of a bad job is all any of us make of it, you will forget this phrase, and in forgetting it, will alter the condition.
Edward, there is a hotel in New Forest if you want to go there. I could go down with you and then leave you there if you want to be alone.
No, I can't go away. I have a case coming up next Monday.
Then will you stop at your club?
No, they won't let me. I must leave tomorrow. How do you know I'm staying at the club?
Really, Edward, I have some sense of responsibility. I was going to leave some shirts there for you.
Ah, it seems to me that I might as well go home.
Then we can share a taxi and be economical. Edward, have you anything else to ask him before we go?
Yes, I have. It's about the future of the others. I don't want to build on other people's ruins.
Exactly. And I have a question too. Sir Henry, was it you who sent those telegrams?
I think I will dispose of your husband's problem. Your business is not to clear your conscience, but to learn how to bear the burdens on your conscience. With the future of the others, you are not concerned.
I think you've answered my question.